Alibi, written by Sydney Bauer and read by Bill Tanike. Sammy Ito was a fortunate man. He acknowledged this blessing as he did every morning, as he slid the long silver key into the freshly polished lock of the carefully painted dry oak garden shed door at the top of Mr. Nagoshi's extensive Wellesley Estate Japanese garden. Sammy was Ukiah, a third-generation Ukiah, from a family of similarly fortunate gardeners who took honor in tending some of the most beautiful Japanese gardens a man ever had the privilege to till. He understood and respected the principles of wa, or balance, that less is more, that ma, or space defined the elements around it, and that carefully placed ishi, or rocks, played a superior role to plantings, or shukasai, in a garden where mizu, water, and okimono, ornaments, worked together to create the true spirit of yin and yo, or as the Chinese put it, yin and yang. It was 6 a.m., the low-lying condensation which so often followed a cool and cloudless night sat peacefully above his beautiful responsibilities like a guardian, waiting for Sammy to come with the sun and tend to them until darkness claimed them again. He began, as he always did, retrieving his pad and pencil from the shed, walking the garden, assessing its needs, and making notes on his priorities for the day. He would start at the water basin, or chozu, which sat at the base of a running stream, filling and emptying simultaneously as the clack of its bamboo water chute marked the passage of time. For the next half hour, he would continue south past a series of stones placed vertically, arched, reclining, and horizontally in sets of threes, fives, and sevens before moving east to assess the Japanese native plants, cherries, bamboo, and maples, finally feeling the lift in his heart as he neared the greenhouse, or onshitsu. He thanked Buddha once again for the honorable gift before him. People said they were a myth, a subject of fable that lurked undiscovered in some yet-to-be-charted tropical jungle. But Sammy Ito knew differently as he entered the enclosure and surveyed the Telepogon portili, or totally black orchid, which grew in full splendor before him. He had seen many impostors, the Encyclia cochleate, the Dracula vampire, the Polystachia transvaletis, and various other hybrids which made a mockery of the original's beauty. For none of these were the true color of the night. None had the pure darkness of bloom as the priceless specimen he now beheld. And then he saw it, the Stone of Death. It was one of the three bad stones, along with the withered and misshapen diseased stone and misfit pauper's stone, which brought hardship and misfortune to its master's house. The death stone was a stone that was obviously a vertical, used as a horizontal, or vice versa, like an epitaph propping up the dead. And in this case, it was.